Will you join me in a word of prayer, please? Lord God, we thank you and praise you for the blessing of this day, for the memory of how you brought the gospel to your people. Our thankful hearts rejoice, O Lord, because we are those people today. Help us to receive the blessing that came through Martin Luther and the Reformers, and allow that blessing to speak to our hearts and our spirits today. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I love music. I've been here at Christ the Vine for a number of Reformation services over the years, and I know that I can always count on great music here. It's a blessing not just to the mind, but to the heart and to the spirit. That music speaks to all of who we are, doesn't it? And it just helps us to gain a fuller appreciation and a greater picture of what it means to be a part of the family of God. Music is awesome. Have you ever written a song? I have. I actually wrote a song for our wedding. Many years ago, I was almost 23 years old, and even that young, naive person knew that this was a really important moment, and that somehow it needed to be captured. It needed to be connected in a significant way. I was just thinking about this last night. I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I was remembering that song. We have to watch it again. But it was something that spoke to all who we are. And today, on Reformation Sunday, music is a big part of Lutheran tradition. Music looms large in our picture of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And along with many other people across the world, many Lutherans across the world, we sang A Mighty Fortress, right? A mighty fortress is our God. It's kind of like the battle hymn of Lutheranism, isn't it? It's a way for us to just shout out the victory that comes in Jesus Christ. And that is an appropriate way for us to sing that hymn. And yet, it's also risky. It's risky because as we shout the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, we are tempted to hold on to something that is not of God. And that is that somehow God likes Lutherans better. You know? He loves Lutherans because we've got the truth, right? Well, we do. And yet, God loves all people. He loves everybody. And the challenge that we have as we celebrate the blessing of being a part of the Lutheran Church today is that we think that somehow we're better, that we're smarter, that we have a corner on the truth, that we're stronger, that somehow we've got it figured out. But we have to remember that the Reformation was not born out of a spirit of triumphalism, but it was born in the heart of a broken person. Someone who felt the burden and weight of his sin so deeply. Someone who knew that no matter what he could do, no matter what he would try, he could never make God happy. And he was broken by that. He was hurt by that. And what we have in the psalm that we shared just a few minutes ago is the same kind of picture from David. Psalm 32 is attributed to David, and I'd like to invite you to get your bulletin out again. I'm actually going to use this one more time, and turn to page 8, because that's where the psalm is. And we want to walk our way through David's heart. See, David wrote this song, because that's what the Psalter really is. It's a song. It's a way to express in deep words something that is precious and special and is transcendent. And David knew this. David's somebody who gets this. Because David was not the perfect person, was he? We know that. The scriptures tell us David's story, and there are lots and lots of times that David did not get it right. And we see that reflected in the words that he writes here in Psalm 32. Blessed. Let's read it together. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. It doesn't say, blessed is the man who doesn't ever sin. Because there is no one, right? There is no one other than Jesus Christ. And my friends, we are not Jesus. That's why we're here, you know? That's why we're here, because we are needy people. We are people with empty hands before the Lord. And what David is pointing us to here is the gift that it is to be forgiven of sin. Now, the Hebrew word that's used here is not just blessed. Sometimes we think about blessed as being better. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the meek. Jesus used this in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And sometimes we interpret blessed as better, but that's not what this means. Blessed is something that comes from the outside to a person. Blessed is something that speaks into a lack in somebody's life. And it results in a response of happiness, of joy, of relief. You ever been in a situation where you were faced with a really challenging question and you're afraid of what one of the outcomes might be, and the answer comes back differently, and it's like, man, am I glad I got that answer instead, right? I am blessed. And that's David's response too, because David knows what it's like to be needy. David knows what it's like to be sinful. He knows when he's culpable. Well, but David is like us, because the next verses talk about denial. Let's read the next set. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. When you pretend that things aren't as bad as they really are, you get in trouble. Some people call this a conscience. So that when you know that things aren't the way that you'd like them to be, but you pretend they're a different way, it costs you. It costs you because you're not being authentic. You're not being the person that you really are. You're putting up a facade. And when that facade is present in the face of other people, you can't trust whether they're going to receive the real you. You ever ask yourself that question? If they really knew who I was, would they be my friend? If they really knew what was going on inside my heart, would they really want to be close to me? And you know, the honest answer is probably no. For everyone, perhaps, except the Lord himself. Because what we celebrate on Reformation Day is not the fact that we have something awesome, just that. But what we celebrate today is that we have a God who knows fully who we are, to the depths of who we are, and he still says to us, I want you. I want you. I want you to be a part of my family. I want to love you. I want to bring you good, good things. Now that's something to get excited about. That's when we can join David and say, blessed is the person whose sins are forgiven, because God knows the depths of what that forgiveness really entails. And he wants to speak that forgiveness to us. He wants to breathe that into the very essence of who we are. And that's what David writes about. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't. Eventually, David didn't always at first, did he? He tried to keep it under wraps. He tried to keep it hidden. He tried to keep it private and secret. But when it comes out, I said, I will confess my sins to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Sisters and brothers in Jesus, that's the Reformation. In a nutshell, that's the Reformation right there. That we can trust that we have a God who knows exactly who we are. And he says, I love you. I forgive you. And I want to give you life. Not to the exclusion of other people, and not so that you can feel pride in that all by itself, but so that I can fill you, and also so that you can see the world the way that I do. So that you don't just love other Lutherans or even other Christians only, but that you have eyes for the broken. And you have a heart for those who are needy. And that you have a spirit for people in trouble. Because that's who you were before the message of God's great love came into your life. I want to ask you to turn back to a mighty fortress. And I want you to imagine this scenario. We're going to leave the trumpets in the case right now. And I want you to hear a recorder. Do you know what a recorder sounds like? It's kind of a plaintive, reflective, thoughtful kind of instrument that lets you get inside yourself a little bit. At least that's what it does for me. And we're going to sing verse 2. Not from a perspective of being on top, but from a perspective of being needy. Would you do that with me, please? No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be, the Lord of hosts is he, Christ Jesus, my Lord, God's only
Son adored. He holds the field victorious.
I rarely get to sing in bass, so thank you for that. But now hear David's concluding thoughts. Don't be like a horse or a mule who needs a bit in their mouth to get led around, but know who you are and know who your Lord is. Know him as the one who comes close to you, and that when you identify yourself as a miserable sinner, as we did just a few minutes ago, he comes to you and says, yes, that's true, but I want to make you my daughter, my son. I want to make you a part of the family. And that's why I've come. I've come to make you a part of the family. And I've come to bless you so that you in turn can then be a blessing to the people around you. Does that change the way you think about a mighty fortress? Does it change the way that you recognize your place in the heart of God? Because that's the place that Martin Luther would have us be. Not in a place where we say, yeah, I'm a sinner, and we acknowledge sin from a philosophical perspective and we forget about the very practical ways that that sin manifests itself in our lives and in our relationships. And we have an attitude of, yeah, I'm a sinner and I'm always going to be one and you better get used to it because it's not going to change. That is not the way that God wants us to approach this day. He wants us to recognize exactly who we are, to acknowledge that, to confess our sin, all of it, then to receive from his hand the blessing of being a part of the family. I am really thankful that I'm a part of the family of God with you. I'm thankful that this is a day that we can celebrate being together as forgiven children of God in Christ, and not from a distance, but from up close and personal, from a God who knows us very, very well and wants to bring his love into our life in a very, very real way. Amen and amen. May it be so.